Welcome to the latest ASI cast. I'm Richard Marks, and to paraphrase Sam Cooke, it's been a long time coming, almost as long as my last haircut, but finally a change is going to come in the Netherlands as the TMAM decision, the big Dutch multimedia contract, has finally been made, and we know what the Dutch combined measurement system now looks like. I'm joined by two key figures in the initiative, from the advertising side, Johan Smit of PMA, and from the research side, Frans Kok of NLO. So, for those of our listeners who may not have seen this week's announcement, what exactly have you announced?
Well, first of all, we announced that TMAM, which we use as a project name, is now Het Nationale Media Onderzoek, National Media Survey, NMO. So that's the first thing we announced. And of course, we need this in many aspects. It makes it easier to recruit new staff. It makes it easier to recruit respondents if you have a proper name. And you can actually find that name and see that it's a trustworthy sender. Overall, of course, we announced that we have the new research finally going to market or let's say the final stages of the preparations, where we have first improved every single silo of the current audience measurement, reading, viewing, listening, and surfing, but with the purpose of making sure that in the end, all these data sets can be combined in a cross-media data set, both for planning and reporting purposes. And I think that, as I saw in the last few days, it's widely acknowledged that the chosen setup is a world first, and by design, it is developed to both improve the current existing audience measurement systems and make the reporting of across media possible. That last part, however, is a contract we still have to tender. And we already know that that might give some challenges, but by design, we should be able to understand those challenges way before they present problems.
So effectively, and this is something we've been tracking at ASI for the last few years, and you guys have been helpful in narrating the journey that you've been on, both from a research perspective, but also from a governance and political perspective, because obviously there's challenges there as well. In terms of the overall structure, it's effectively, and we'll get into some of the research detail, an alignment of the various separate contracts that existed to bring them together, and in some cases, and we'll talk about this, to share and overlap the data collection methodologies. So you're in a good position to move on from there to talk about how you could report jointly that data, but I'm guessing what you're alluding at with that contract is there will be decisions that need to be taken around exposure definitions, how the data is combined and released. But it sounds like you're in a good position to be able to kick on to do that.
Yeah, I believe that we really have chosen for a system that is cross-media by design. Mm. So the first step was to look at the separate audience measurements and look where the improvements could be. But immediately looking also at the cross media part of that. So that will be the phase that then will be more easier than to do without a lot of fusions or whatsoever, because the overlap in the measurement is there, the overlap in the panels is there. And we will use that to have a qualitative fusion to get.
I would say it's more than alignment. We have a contract which has the four signatures of the four organizations on it, one with Kantar, one with Ipsos, and then there's a charter between Kantar and Ipsos, because some parts, all parts, they are collaborating, but on some it's more intensive than others. For instance, Kantar will deliver the panel members for the RAM panel. Ipsos will provide the metering solution. And then, of course, the reporting you get, that will be combined partly also with our DGM, the TGI. And DGM is done by Ipsos, But the fusion or the attribution of the social demographics and product usage stuff is done by Kantar. So there's one process where all parties are involved. So it's more than alignment, it is through integration. Mm. And this is one of the reasons why it has been such a lengthy process. First of all, we had to understand what we were asking of the different, we should be asking. Then the Kantar and Ipsos had to understand what was asked of them and how they should collaborate. And then we had to put that in writing, in a contract. And as you can imagine, that took a little bit more than a week of intensive talks. But in the end, it results in a truly integrated system, which is more than just two companies collaborating. It is on our side also very difficult to understand or make people understand that all of a sudden you're not longer in charge of your own domain. Because there's every aspect, every change you make will have influence on all other aspects or some other aspects of the design. So no longer you can say as one party, I want to change, for instance, a people meter. Because in that household, there's also a focal meter. And we know if you tamper with a household, the outcomes will be different. So if you take a decision like that, you have to do this in cooperation and with the agreement of your partners. So it's definitely more than alignment.
Definitely sounds fairly innovative in terms of what you're going to be doing. Now, you've got a webinar coming up. If people are listening to this before the 14th of April, they can sign up for a 1-hour webinar on the 14th, where you'll be talking in more detail about what the actual new shape of the contract involves. So I'm not going to do a deep dive now into methodology and sampling and so on, but I've got a few specific questions that the two of you may be able to help with, just for my clarity, and it's more around what it encompasses, less around the research design and methodology, which I gather is combines both fixed meters, portable meters, and online tracking across the various media. But in terms of the TV and video elements, and in terms of scope, what will that encompass? Will you be measuring Netflix, YouTube, Facebook videos, for example? How are you defining the scope at this stage? And have you been having conversations with those companies?
Yeah, the ones you are mentioning now are in the measurement on a platform level. So until they really cooperate together with us, we can only measure the platforms, which is fine for now. But the system is open for any publisher or media owner to join. That's also why we chose this system. It's a flexible, open system, future-proof, to add also new platforms, new devices, for instance, smart speakers, where you can't put in a meter, but you want the insights, and that can come from the focal meter, for instance. We use that for measuring platforms that are not cooperating or joining the system yet. And there have been discussions or talks to Google, to Facebook, to Spotify. So they are aware of the system, and they are like the approach that we've chosen. So maybe in time we will join. I can't say now, but the system is ready for it.
So you'll be able to publish total figures for Netflix usage, YouTube usage, etc., as a platform. But in order to get more granular things, obviously that would involve seeing inside the walled gardens and collaboration.
Absolutely.
With those. But it's so it's ready. It's ready to do that if needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing inside the walled gardens is a technological challenge. It's just political.
Because I guess you're already seeing inside the walled gardens of broadcast video, for example. So you've got a template for how you would ingest that data.
Yeah, that's true. So the local publishers who use these kind of SVOD, for instance, platforms, they are in the system, they can be measured. Mm. So the technical implications are known, and we're ready for that. And by the way, we're also using a lot of census data in the new measurements. So that's also a part of the system that adds added value to what we are measuring.
Mm. In terms of online, what I like about the system that you've developed is that it builds on something you've already been doing, which is that you share, as I understand it, the online measurement across the different medium. Countries that have got separate siloed measurement systems are each measuring video online, print online, radio online, etc. Whereas you're measuring, and it's a good example of where it's more than just aligning the contracts, you're sharing that. What, in terms of expanding beyond that, what's the situation with regard to media like outdoor and cinema? Are they involved? Could they be involved?
Well, with outdoor, as you might have heard, it's probably the media type most affected by the COVID-19 measures. With outdoor, we were about to issue an RFP, which was in this case still aligned with the total NMO project. But because of the current situation, there's not enough funding to continue doing that. But again, the system is designed to allow outdoor to enter in a later stage. And it's not as difficult as you think, because the biggest issue outdoor is facing at the moment, not just in the Netherlands, I would say, is to understand how the programmatic part of outdoor can be combined. And partly you see this with the agencies now, with the traditional programmatic people. So they treat it like online. Also partly it is with people who traditionally buy posters and now have to understand what's happening there. Also for us, as the jig of outdoor, it is kind of complicated to find a standard on reporting between the programmatic part and the regular objects. With the design we have for NMO, we have the same data stream from online going to the online reporting as it will be fed into the TV system. Because linear streams, you can easily make GRPs out of that. But it's measured in the same way as other videos online. So instead of trying to, instead of thinking from separate angles and silos, what we did is we look at what's the data and what can we do with it. And then we just give the same data to the TV panel as we give to the online panel, just treat it in a different way. And that's what we can do with outdoor too. We have the programmatic data, we can either add that to the online part or not, and have a separate reporting system. And this is the beauty of the design, that it's not fixed. And basically anything which might change with online advertising, whether will be people, I don't know if we have of course the smart speakers already, but if there are smart fridges or something like that and they become part of the ecosystem, all kinds of CTV and other data sets you have with video, if it can be measured, and I think again technology is not the biggest challenge there, we can do something with it. Now how to report on it, that will be a challenge, and also still a challenge for us. We don't have every reporting data set designed yet. You know that if you fuse data sets, you have to compromise on the granularity. So you have to make decisions. Again, those are political decisions more than technical decisions. So if it's there, it's online. If it has an IP address, we can measure it.
In terms of this new initiative, it could be seen as, you mentioned the impact of the pandemic on the outdoor industry, for example. It could be seen as brave to launch a new service during a global crisis, the effect of which is yet to be evaluated on advertising expenditure, revenue and subscription models, etc. Will this new model and the synergies reduce the amount that the stakeholders have to pay for their measurement compared to when things were in silos?
Well, the short answer, of course, is no, because the moment you have savings, you get additional requests. That's always the same. So if we save a million, there are 2 million worth of requests which people need to or want to have. If you look on our annual running cost base, we have like for like a substantial saving. Of course, you can understand that Kantar and Ipsos were keen on getting this contract. It is a very visible contract. It's by far not the most valuable to them, but that helps. It is visible because it's the first time we do something like this. I think has a value. And the other thing, there is a synergy. We have one questionnaire. It's a bit longer, but we don't have to go to different panelists with this, different questionnaires. The people meter and the focal meter are installed in the same household. That means one technician who has to go there, a technical chart to be filled in and stuff like that. So there are savings there, obviously. On the other hand, like I said, we there are a few things which are relatively expensive, no matter how many savings you can get from synergy. In the end, the RAM panel was very expensive. Going from a radio log to a passive meter, and we all know this is very expensive. So the online measurement might not be that expensive, but if you see, if you compare it to the market which is being traded on those data sets, it is very expensive because most of the money is going to the international companies, the Googles, Facebook, Amazon, and they don't contribute. So there you have some issues which are very difficult to financially sort out, but I'm happy to say that in the end we did. So in the end, are there savings compared to our current total cost? Hardly any. But if you look at what you have instead of that, we have a totally new people meter. That would have cost us some money too. We have a passive measurement system for radio, very much more expensive than a radio log. We have an establishment survey for the first time in 3-4 years. If you see what you get extra, and that for almost the same amount of money, and almost means slightly less, I think, yes, there are efficiencies.
I think that you mentioned two new elements to the new contract, one of which, if I understand, is the Kantar People Meter 7, I think it's called, and for for Ipsos, it's the Ipsos Media. So, Franz, are you able to give us just a quick, almost two-liner on what the step up in metering is for both of those solutions in terms of what they offer you?
Yeah, I believe the people meter of Kantar, the people meter 7, is more granular, so it's really usable for addressable TV. Addressable commercials can be captured in a much more better way, so that helps. The media cell app that we have chosen for the radio will also be used for TV, by the way. So we'll add the TV data coming from the media cell solution to the TV currency. That will double more than double the TV panel, and will also then decreasing the zero rating. So there's also sort of trade-off for that. For radio, the media cell app will be based on the dual detection, so we use audio matching and encoding in the same measurement. And the benefit of the media cell app is also that there's the component of reality mine in the same app. So respondents will download the app, but based on the reality mine component, we can also measure all the online behavior on the smartphone. And that will also be then data that we can deliver to the online data set. And further, it will help also capturing headset listening on the smartphone, because that's captured if it's on air. by the audio matching, but we can add it from the online listening on the smartphone. So there are a lot of solutions within the same measurement that can add to the data for the other modalities.
Bearing in mind that you are bringing in new solutions, what's your go live date? When will this start becoming the currency in the Netherlands? What's the big date that you're?
Yeah, we have different moments because we don't wait until everything has been settled. So I believe the first delivery will be in the third quarter of this year. That will be the readership survey that is then ready to deliver their data. The online data sets will be delivered, I think, in
the 1st of January.
Yeah, in 2020.
We already started with the establishment survey, the field work. The NRS starts today.
Yeah.
But the reporting will be third quarter.
Yeah.
Radio will be also the 1st of January, and TV will be the 1st of July. And the moment we have a clear view on how the different data sets will look, we will start with the cross media reporting. The RFP will be out before then, but nobody can reply until they've seen the data sets which they have to merge.
I mentioned that we've been tracking the genesis and the evolution of this project at ASI over the last few years in conferences and podcasts. The other big development that has come in the last 18 months or so, of course, has been the WFA cross-media initiative and pilots that are taking place in the UK with ISBAR and their Origin initiative in the US. By the ANA. How do you feel that what you've announced aligns with what the advertisers have requested? Is it a potential template for a solution, or is there synergies that could be made with what's being piloted in other countries?
I think it aligns and takes it a step further. Of course, we have not yet included Google or Facebook in our system. But it's clear that they said once the announcement is out, we will be officially sitting down with you and see what we can do. We've taken a different approach because, we believe that cross-media is truly cross-media. So it's not just video. All aspects are relevant to all kinds of advertisers. So therefore, I think it's a step further. However, we still haven't tackled the online campaign measurement. And again, that's not a technical issue. Measuring it is fine, and we know that it will keep on evolving, and not necessarily for the best, I have to say, because we know when we have to give up on cookies, it might be more difficult than now to get a proper measurement in place. However, the technology is kind of, or the people working with the technology and developing are kind of clever people. And they always come up with a solution. We don't know what's going to happen with Apple and Android saying which data we can and cannot use from mobile phones. But we'll get to that once there are material changes. Online campaign measurement is also a political issue. Who owns which kind of data? What will be reported? To whom will it be reported? On what level will it be reported? But those things are all a matter of discussion, and we just have to agree on that. That's not very different talking to the Advertisers Association as talking to Google. Google has, I think rightfully, some privacy requirements. They might influence the methodology. I'm not sure about it yet. But the WFA initiative and what we are doing is in principle very much the same, with the two exceptions. One, the WFA is like a guideline, a concept, and then they look for countries to actually fill in the concepts. And we start on the other side, we just filled it in. But the concept and the guidelines and the principles are pretty much the same. And the second difference is that While I believe that the Google and Facebook answers to the request of the WFA were from a data-driven point of view, we approach this, perhaps because we are more traditional media people, we approach this from a reach and frequency point of view. And by, you've been to all the conferences too. This is has always been the question on many ASI conferences. Should we have reach and frequency, or should we have impressions? Should we have ratings, or should we have views? And if you think like that, you start to design your data set according to your ideas. And we thought, let's look at it the other way and just see what is there and then see what we can do with it. So, as I gave you the example before, we get data which is going as impressions to the online measurement system, and the same data is going as ratings to the TV measurement system. It's the same data, it's just a matter of how you handle it. And I think that's a major difference between what we are doing and what the WFA initiative is doing, which is not surprising. If you ask Google and Facebook to come up with a solution, they come up with a data-driven solution. You can hardly blame them for that. It's their business model. So yes, that's what you get. That's also why there is a solution, by the way, yeah? Because we have been talking about this for many, many years. And this is one way forward, to look at it from a data point of view. So I think that's where the difference is. The endorsement of the advertisers for this system is there. One of the advertisers is actually quoted in yesterday's press release. So we have all full support of the advertisers for this measurement system.
Well, thanks for talking to us so quickly after the announcement. It only went out the day before this podcast, and you're no doubt an extremely busy phase of talking to people. So thanks for squeezing us into your schedule to talk to us about the new initiative. But we knew that our ASI community would be very keen to hear, having been teased over the last couple of years with the imminent announcement of this. It's great that it's finally landed and we can talk about it. So thanks for your time, and we'll speak to you both soon.
Very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.